again with a new episode of Recursive. And this is going to be episode number 4, wherein we're going to talk about something that Albin has been experienced or had experience with, and talking about his experience in general as well, regarding a project, a side project, which he has some things to share about. I'm not going to tell you what it is. I'll let it let him do the talking about that. So take it away, Albin.
So this episode is going to be about a journey I was on. Where I decided I wanted to build a task management product or solution. And the conception of this idea was that I saw all of these new tools pop up on the scene, like Linear, of course, and Height, and Shortcut, and a bunch of other ones. But the issue I had with all of these was they all felt quite complex. You had to learn about their methodology of doing project management. And I missed this simple boards or projects, boards, columns, tasks concept. And I think the first time I used something like this was with Trello. Trello was very early on this. But Trello hasn't really changed in the last 5 or 6 years. It stayed the same, and I feel like it's more for maybe individuals who want to do some planning on their small project, or maybe even like travel planning for couples, and it's a bit more towards the individuals. But I wanted something that we could use as a team and that other people could use within their organizations, but still be simple to use.
All right. So there was this, well, let's, for lack of a better word, call it frustration or desire for a simpler app that would fit your needs, but also wants in terms of look and feel, UX, UI, I think.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, Trello, since it hadn't been updated in 5-6 years, it looked a bit outdated.
All right, but before we do a deep dive on this, right, let's take a step back. So, so you had this desire to build such an app you would like to use for yourself, right? So that was the initiator, but then did you already had an idea on like which software or how to architecture it, or like, you know, where to which stack to use or something?
I think so. I mean, I'm mostly proficient in React and TypeScript and Tailwind CSS. So that's kind of what I decided to go with. Not sure if Next.js was the best decision. It worked fine, but I didn't really use the
static site generation.
The static site and the server side generation and images, and I didn't really use any of that. So I could probably have gone with Vite and React and TypeScript. Could have worked, but this was fine. So I decided to go with that.
But so you liked Trello, you liked, you have used Linear as well.
At that time, I'd only played with it.
Okay.
Not actually used it and learned it.
Okay. So what other task managers did you take inspiration from, or felt like you could outdo a bit, or like, you know, compete with in some way?
I mean, at my previous company, we used something called, they changed name to Shortcut, but they were called Clubhouse before, actually.
Is it the Clubhouse I'm thinking of, or is it
the it's the first Clubhouse.
Okay.
The Clubhouse you're thinking of came after that.
Yeah.
And Clubhouse was very nice because it was very straightforward. It had projects, boards, problems, and tasks, and they had a bunch of like neat small things like copy Git branch name, and it linked to the pull request and kind of the stuff that Linear does now.
Yeah.
But Shortcut had a very old interface. Mm. Like the UI was very poor. The UX was fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't really a place you wanted to spend your time in.
And that's also something you take in high regard, right? You need to have a good feeling in design.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I often tend to strive to build and design products and interfaces and experiences that bring a little bit of joy to the user.
Mm-hmm.
Where they look at the product and they think, okay, the designer spent a little bit extra time here and they didn't just do what is good enough.
Yeah. All right. So taking from A to B here. So you decided on your stack. You had your ideas flowing there, right? You had a target more or less. So how quickly did you make a first version, or you know, have something that you felt like this is worth a first use or something?
Mm-hmm.
Tell us something about that.
Yeah, I think I was a bit naive when I started the build task plane. I thought, yeah, I can just whip this together in a couple of weeks. Mm-hmm. But it took quite a bit longer than I expected. And I think I spent most of the time on, well, of course, everything takes time. Like setting up the database and the API and creating all the routes for everything, for the organizations, for the projects, for the boards, for the columns, for the tasks, for the labels, for the comments, you know, everything. There's so many entities in an app like this.
Yeah.
So that, of course, took a long time, and building the interface, making sure everything made sense.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the most tricky part was the actual like drag and drop, making sure tasks can be dragged to a specific index in the new column.
Mm.
So it doesn't just end up in a random index, it actually ends up where you put it in the list.
And for other people out there, index refers to position. Like, you know, index one would be the first one, well, index zero, but the first one, and then counting downwards.
Yeah. Yes. Of course, there was a lot of work. There wasn't a lot of it wasn't very hard. Like, nothing was super hard.
Mm.
I think where I kind of misstepped a little bit is that I didn't go with a real-time solution, something like WebSocket.
Mm-hmm.
Because skipping forward a little bit here, when I started to gain some interest from people, they very quickly started to ask about collaboration and live syncing and things like this. And it was never architected that way.
Yeah.
Because that's something I never really have done. And I've always found real-time communication server to client quite difficult to grasp, to grok, how to actually do it. I understand the basics of it, the basics ideas, but I've never really attempted to build a fully functional app with something like WebSockets.
I would like to zoom in a bit on that. So, I mean, you're a capable developer, right? So that's just something definitely you could tackle if you set yourself to it, I guess. But my thought on this as a hypothesis would be, because you got interest from people and you you felt like people are waiting for this, did you feel like did you have the space, the mental space and the time to experiment with this, or how did you know, experience that?
Yeah, it's a good question. I did attempt a little bit to make some sort of collaboration happen, or some sort of like live-ish syncing, or like, I think what I tried to do was display just like a first example, display who is watching the issue that you're currently editing. Sounds pretty easy. Turns out it's not.
How did you do it then, in terms of technology?
I mean, WebSocket gets you quite far.
Mm-hmm.
I got to the point where I had two browsers open.
Mm-hmm.
And when one of the users went to look at an issue, it basically pinged the other user joined or something.
Yeah, like a group, right? Yeah.
Yeah, and then it started to show it. But the issue was,
I think
new people who joined,
yeah,
started looking, didn't see the other people.
Yeah.
Because what you need to do, which I found out, is you need to persist who is looking at something.
Yeah.
WebSockets doesn't have any memory, right? It doesn't keep state.
Mm.
So then, you know, I started to Google around a bit, and people started recommending Firebase. And at that point, I just it got a bit too complex.
Yeah. So to actually take back what you just said with the third user joining, right? So it's like you're building a stack of let's say Lego blocks, right? So the first block is there, then the second block would see the first block, but the first block wouldn't see the second block.
Exactly. So
every newer user would see past users?
No, the other way around. Versa.
Yeah, yeah.
So the first user would see everyone who joined.
Yeah.
But everyone who joined wouldn't see the people already there.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Because that's, you have to actually persist who is watching now.
Yeah.
And then you can use WebSockets for pinging new user joined.
Yeah.
Right? So you automatically see new users.
Yeah.
Or user left, for example.
Yeah.
So I think I have a better idea now of how the concept works. But like building real-time applications by yourself, it's gonna take a long time.
Yeah.
Like having multiple cursor support and seeing cards or issues being dragged to another column, that's very difficult.
Yeah, but honestly, like what you're just saying, right? For me, as I would have been a user, that the actual dragging, seeing that being dragged in real time, wouldn't be a requirement for me.
Right, but that's the difficult part. Where do you set the line? How far? Because I don't know what my users need, right? Some people want like almost like Figma. Everything is visible.
Yeah.
But some people maybe settle with what you mentioned.
Yeah.
That's the difficult part when building a product like this.
I agree. So, so did you, like, the requirements of this function, for example, this drag and drop real-time syncing or real-time in general, is this something the requirements you defined on by yourself are based on intuition, what people might have felt like, or did you actually get it in writing, for example, from people, I want this?
No, not really. And I never really committed to adding this.
Yeah.
I just played around with it a little bit. Mm. But I never really... Yeah. And I never really decided to do it, you know?
Yeah.
Because I just saw this huge mountain of work in front of me. And at this point, to kind of loop you, or like keep you in the loop here, I had built an MVP of Taskplane. I'd put up a landing page and gotten a decent amount of early access signups, maybe 100 or so.
Nice.
Um, I started a Discord group. I got some members joining there, and I rolled out, I think, about 10 invites a week, I believe.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did you also, I think you also promoted it on Product Hunt?
Yeah, I did all the growth hacky things.
Yeah, yeah.
I actually even ordered stickers from Sticker Mule, and like the cheap 10-pack sample or something. And I just, this was during the summer, so I was biking to work.
Mm-hmm.
And the road I take to work is, if you live in Stockholm, you'll know this, Norrmalmstrand.
Mm-hmm.
It's on Kungsholmen, you probably know.
Yeah.
There's this very, very long bike road, and there's so many people like going to work on that road. So I just, every day I brought a sticker and I put it on like an electrical box or something. So everyone who passed saw it.
Nice.
It probably didn't do anything, but I thought, you know, could be, maybe someone thinks, okay, what's that? I'm gonna Google it.
Yeah.
It was a fun thing. I got a t-shirt. So I think that this is the first project where I've invested the most in.
Mm-hmm.
Like monetarily, I started doing Twitter ads, Reddit ads.
Okay.
And that worked very well. Like,
yeah.
I got, I think, maybe 200 signups in a few days just from Twitter and Reddit. Nice. But it's very expensive.
Yeah. In what region do we need to think of just to get a ballpark figure out there?
I can't really remember, but
yeah, all right.
I think that maybe I spent $200 in total for 200 signups.
Okay.
So that's very expensive.
Yeah.
It works, but it's very expensive.
Yeah, well, maybe just to kickstart it might be. But the thing is, well, you didn't ask any money for people to use it, right? It was a free service to begin with. Is it also how it was promoted?
The way it was promoted was in early access, it would be free for individuals and companies.
Okay.
But in general availability, it would be free for individuals. And then there was a coming soon price for the teams. So I knew I needed to pay, or like I needed to charge eventually for it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, the feeling I'm getting now, right, from the overall the progress and where you stand right now, if you think about like you developed something that people could use, you promoted it, you had like merchandise, you had something out there, you promoted it on multiple channels. Your signups went well. So overall, it felt like you had something going there. You like from a superficial outsider's view, so everything was in the green. So what happened? Like, yeah.
Yeah, that's the that's a good question. What happened? I think there are multiple factors to why I decided first to like stop work for a little bit, like pause the work. I think one factor, of course, is this was a side project and I wanted to you know, focus on work. We had a lot of stuff to do then and it needed more focus. I think another factor was that, you know, the early access signups weren't exactly skyrocketing. I didn't get the ketchup effect. It never got viral, you know? That's kind of what every indie developer hopes for. Like maybe you do a little bit of paid ads and you do organic marketing on Twitter and YouTube videos, and then boom, everyone sees it in their feeds. But that never happened. So I really had to fight for every single sign up, which didn't seem scalable. So there I also lost interest a little bit. I think a third factor was that I got a bit tired of the product, to be honest.
How far in are we now in the timeline? So how far in months or weeks?
Oh yeah, it's difficult to put the time on it, but this is where I was like done with the MVP.
Mm-hmm.
I had 300 early access signups. Yeah, roughly there in time.
Okay.
So that's kind of why I started losing interest a bit. I also didn't really enjoy doing marketing. Mm. I wanted to do engineering and designing. That's mm-hmm. what I'm best at. And marketing was difficult, but because when you don't get the results you're hoping for, you don't get very intrigued to spend more time on marketing.
Yeah.
That's very, because what's so cool about engineering and designing is the feedback is instant, right?
Mm-hmm.
You do work and then you get a result that you can be proud of. Like the time you put down is like the
equally translated into
translates to the output most of the time, right? But marketing, it's completely separate.
Mm.
You can spend a week on marketing and it can end up in 10 signups or something.
Yeah.
So that time input didn't feel very rewarding, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So then I just moved to spending more time on engineering and building a bunch of features. I built integrations with Slack and with GitHub and with Raycast. And
yeah.
I even built a public API.
Cool.
I built so many features,
yeah,
which I of course shouldn't have done because I didn't have product market fit yet.
Mm.
That's the main issue. Yeah. I never got product market fit.
Mm.
And that's something I've learned. That's the first thing you need to work towards.
Yeah.
And if you don't get it pretty early on, it might not be worth spending your time on it.
Yeah. And like early on is like a very subjective, like I'm trying to figure out for myself as well, like, you know, how many months or weeks would that be? I guess it also depends on what kind of problem you're trying to tackle, what kind of technology or something like that, right? Some mm-hmm. some things like, you know, what I don't want to spend too much time on it right now, but like AI, like, you know, before you have, if you would build AI from scratch, before you have something that people would use, that takes months. I don't know for sure, but like that the sense I'm getting. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, if you have a working MVP, and the problem also is that it's a very broad audience, right? So it's very difficult to reach that audience in a sense. I'm going to give an example. I built an other side project which was very niche. It solved a very niche problem for a very small group of people. It's called Prisma Builder,
mm-hmm.
where you can visually build database schemas around this tool called Prisma. And Prisma has a sizable amount of very, very interested people in everything Prisma, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I built it, I published it in the Prisma Slack,
mm-hmm.
and like that, people started using it.
Yeah.
Now multiple thousands of people are using it every month,
mm.
because I am the only tool in this space who solves this solution, right? Okay. But for Taskplane, that wasn't the case. There were competitors. Linear was really taking off. Height was really taking off. And like everything you could do in Taskplane, you could do in some other product.
Mm-hmm.
And to be fair, I probably knew this in the back of my mind when I started the project.
Yeah.
But I was a bit naive and I thought, no, I can do it better. But they were so far ahead, right? Linear was so far ahead. And I think I had something unique with Haskplane, like the basicness of it.
Mm.
There's no fluff.
Yeah.
So that's, I think, why some people, they liked it. And some people messaged me on Twitter and said, oh, this is a really cool product. This is exactly what I need. I don't need what Linear offers, right?
Yeah, nice.
But it was never enough, like, to make it a business.
Yeah.
It was too small of an audience. Mm. Or too big of an audience, but too small of a fan base, you could say.
Yeah. Well put. So, maybe jumping ahead here, but this app you build and you, what did you end up doing with it? Like, what happened?
Yeah, so last summer I decided to stop working on it with the idea of maybe resuming work in the autumn.
Mm-hmm.
And I just pushed it forward and forward, and I thought, I don't really want to work on this. Like, I didn't feel any passion for it anymore, and then it's very difficult to go back.
Yeah,
I tried multiple times,
mm-hmm.
and I thought, well, maybe rebuilding the architecture could be fun, and like redesigning it could be fun.
Mm-hmm.
But it was never really the actual work that had to be done, right? I tried to make it fun in some ways, but eventually I just realized it wasn't worth keeping alone anymore. Because when you have a project like this that you decide not to work on anymore, but you still have a few hundred people on the wait list, you get a bit of a burden on yourself. Like, oh, I promised these people there's going to be a product. How are they going to react to this?
Yeah.
So then you just keep pushing it forward.
Mm.
But then eventually, I said, no, it's not worth it. I'm going to shut this down. Wrote a blog post about this on my blog. Redirected the landing page to the blog. And built a tool for downloading all your data in a JSON file.
Right.
And then I just quit it.
Yeah.
And there were surprisingly few people who got angry with me. Just one guy said, oh, this is too bad. I really liked it.
Yeah. But you still have a Discord up?
I do have the Discord. And I think I might keep it up because... Mm-hmm. There were some people who said, there were a lot of people who said, this is really cool. You built this all yourself.
Mm.
Like, you're definitely going to build cool shit in the future.
Oh, yeah.
Let's keep in touch. And some.
So that's definitely similar things. A big positive out of the whole journey.
Yeah, definitely. Well. I think I put my name on the map a little bit, at least,
mm-hmm.
which is fun. Yeah. And I learned so much about building product. Like the engineering and the design and the product build or the actual the producing,
mm-hmm.
it's just a very small part of it.
Yeah,
there's so much around it.
Yeah,
like marketing and growth hacking and talking to users and community building and
mm-hmm.
it's very difficult to do this yourself. Especially for a large app like that.
Yeah. And I mean, like you said before, you love the building and designing. So everything else is kind of like a to-do, an actual forcible to-do. But it is needed, right? Because you can build an app for yourself, which is, again, which is nothing bad. But you eventually want people using it or at least, having it take off because that gives you motivation to put in effort again. And
yeah.
You know?
And yeah, exactly. And like this other project I have where I never did any marketing. I just mm-hmm. posted in a Slack channel and that's product market fit.
Yeah.
It had it from day one. And then it actually becomes more fun doing marketing and talking to users, because there are actual users using the app, right?
Yeah.
And people submitting issues and things like this.
Yeah. So to sum it up, actually, so mm-hmm. the code is still there.
The code is still there, yes.
Do you ever think about like releasing it as an open source or for people to take it on their own and see where it goes from there?
Probably not. No.
Okay.
I don't think so. Simply because I think there are better tools out there. I use Linear now, mm-hmm. and it's fantastic.
Yeah.
Linear is a similar product, but it's a bit more opinionated in how you do things. But it works very well for the way we work at Demando, where I think TaskPlane would have been too limiting. That's also something people asked about. How can I configure this? How can I configure sprints and like automate the closing of issues and triaging and mm-hmm. stuff like this? And I never really wanted to build that, because that's only one guy's opinion, right? Yeah. Only one guy's request.
All right.
Yeah.
But you did learn a lot from this whole process, right?
Definitely, I did.
Yeah.
And I'm really grateful for that.
It was a nice project. It was it's a nice journey. You're really listening to you talking about this. And I could see it happening. Like, you had this idea, you had this passion. You were ballsy to feel like, you know, I'm gonna try to give it my own spin.
Mm-hmm.
Which you landed for some people, definitely for yourself, but for other people as well. Yeah, but I can see where things kind of slowed down, motivation drops, and it was a one man show, right? A one man show.
And that's very difficult when you lose motivation. There's no one else there to pick you up.
Yeah. So also a learning would be a future project of possible such a skill you would never do on your own.
No, not this big of a project. No, no way. It's not going to work.
And would you be open to people dropping a message to you on any social media or whatever and, chatting up with you about possible projects?
Yes, I would be open for that. I'm going to be a bit hard here and say I'm not interested in people just saying, hey, I know how to code. Do you want to build a project together? I'm going to say no to all of those, because I get these messages all the time. And that's not how I work. I'm only going to build something with a person who I have somewhat of a relationship with before, who I know. We've talked with each other. We know where we have each other.
And I need to use Vim, right? Otherwise, no.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Can't use VS Code as a pleb. No, but in all seriousness, if you want to get to know me and actually like get to know each other, I'm very open for that. Definitely.
Yeah. All right. Thank you, man. Thank you for sharing. It's
no worries.
Insightful.
And if you see the TaskPlane sticker in Normala Strand, let me know.
I know where it came from, and I'll send you a picture.
I doubt it's still there.
Maybe. All right. Yeah, that was it for today's episode. Thank you, Albin, for talking about TaskPlane. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And see you guys next time.
Yeah, that's been it. Bye-bye.
Bye.